What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. We have Just Niche.
Hey, bam, 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 bam.
Peace, Just Niche.
Hello,
how are
guys?
You?
I am great.
You know, people always seem to be mentioning your name.
Finally, y'all got me in here.
Absolutely.
Somebody funny. About damn time.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's about time, Breakfast Club. Jesus Christ.
Some unfunny people here, you think? You ain't got to say no names.
Okay, cool.
Let them know who Just Niche is.
Yes.
Oh, man, Just Niche is Chicago bred, stand-up, a realist. Mm-hmm. Just pretty much go with the flow, but stay in my lane and just make sure I do what I got to do.
I like what your shirt's representing.
Thank you, because this is one of the things that's really important to me this year, because this election year, and I got to let these people know. I know you own it. Mm-hmm. I see you always with the movement. I got y'all some shirts, too.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, we're going to pop it off, because the young people are going to get us our money back. Mm-hmm. So HR40 is all about the bill to commission and study how we're going to get the reparations. Mm-hmm. They got the HR 414, that is the U.S. admitting that they owe us reparations. So mm-hmm. black people, this is all we need to be worried about. Them student loans, they were never getting them back. Mm-hmm. So Biden can't sell me on that. But I don't care if Trump or Biden get in there. You know, this should be the agenda we pushing, because they don't care. Mm-hmm. So I think we can get on one accord. And with these young kids and TikTok, you know, we got to get the word out, because people don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw Congressman Jamal Bowman. What's the initiative that they're doing, that they're pushing for, is for every black person to get, I think, what, $333,000 in reparations?
Mm-hmm. 300, that's what they start, and it's going to be a long, complex process. But until they do that, they got to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, we need, I don't care. Y'all can give us everything black free until y'all figure it out. Tires, coffee. but y'all have to do something until y'all figure it out. And I feel like if they have something in motion, we watch these people give every American a stimulus check. The file taxes. You telling me you can't give black people a stimulus check monthly until y'all figure it out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little reparation card or something. You know, put some money on here. Load it up until y'all figure it out. But just to keep not doing nothing is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, one thing I told Earthquake this morning, we had Earthquake up here. I was like, man, if you make a certain amount of money as a black person, just let me be tax-free.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
400 years. However long slavery was.
You know? Like, seriously. And it's so easy. Like I say, they probably thinking like, oh, black people gonna want us. We do want the money, but also it's so much other stuff that y'all can start doing.
That's right.
You know, home loans. Y'all can give us property. Free education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mental health for sure.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's like, y'all can start this stuff. We don't have to wait until we figure it all out, but y'all got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me a little reparation loan, you know. Black people only.
That's what Jamal is pushing. He's pushing for a federal bill that will provide every black American with a one-time payment of $333,000 as restitution for slavery.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. They haven't even apologized. I don't think people are realizing they have never publicly apologized for slavery. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when people feel bad, they at least say, you want something from the store? They ain't even asked us, do we want something from the store? Mm-hmm. But it's our fault because we're not pushing it.
We're not demanding.
If we don't care, why would they care? They don't want us to have it no way.
That's right.
So if we all get on the same page, it don't matter which president is in there. Black people, where y'all at with the HR 40? Where y'all at with the HR 414? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? We don't care about, they don't give us nothing that way. Give me like a little chicken card or something.
I want to correct you on one thing, because this is also important to mm-hmm. our push for slavery. I mean, push for reparations. Damn. Mm-hmm. On July 30th, 2008, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution apologizing for American slavery and subsequent discriminatory laws, and the Senate apologized in 2009.
Oh, they apologized. Okay,
so they
cool.
did. So they have apologized
okay.
and acknowledged it.
Thank
so once you do that, you got to make amends.
Yes, not yes. get us something from the store.
Restitution.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm with it. So that's all, and I want to kind of just make people aware of it, mm-hmm. so they can know what to kind of be asking their politicians for
mm-hmm.
at the local, federal, and state level, mm-hmm. because we all have to be on the same page, y'all. We ain't gonna get nothing. Mm-hmm. So
it's true.
So yeah. How'd you get into comedy?
Grey Goose, but literally. I used to go to open mic in Chicago all the time, and my friends were like, you need to go up. And
did you have a set, or you just like, I'm just going to wing it?
Man, look, I used the force. Well, I did have two jokes written on my hand because I kind of prepped. And yeah, the shots took it from there. Mm-hmm. So I invited all my family out. I had 30 people there. This was my first time going up. Like, mm-hmm. I shouldn't have had nobody there because I got drunk. I forgot everything. The words sweated off my hands.
Damn.
I got up there, but I was still funny, but I was winging it. So,
what were the two jokes? Do you remember?
Yes, I had just went natural, and I was talking about how black people can't have sex in the shower because we go in looking like Beyonce, we come out looking like Florida Evans. It was just
Jesus.
So stupid, you know? And that was like what I thought was funny. And I had another joke about getting kicked out the gym for eating ice cream sandwiches. And it was like, you can't tell me how to cool down. Mm-hmm. So that was literally like...
Your two jokes that you
yeah,
had.
Yeah, boom, boom. And then I said a whole bunch of stuff after that. I would have to watch the tape back because I was... So I think I was like 5 shots in because they put me up at the end because all my family was there. So mm-hmm. you know how to try to hold the crowd. But yeah, I went back the next week sober.
Mm-hmm. You did better?
Nope. But I went up and mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. So yeah, people saw that I was kind of naturally funny. So they kind of navigated me around the Chicago comedy scene. Then I met Jokes and Notes owner Mary Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, once you go to Jokes and Notes and do good, that was like a staple.
That's a club?
Yeah, it was okay. like the only black club in Chicago, but... It was a big deal. So all the greats kind of ran through Jokes and Notes. And so if you could be funny at Jokes and Notes, it was like a big deal.
Mm-hmm. So what made you realize, what was the point you got to where you realized, okay, I'm actually good? And how long did it take to get to there?
Well, actually good, that's subjective. So I knew I was actually funny very early because people after the shows would come tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But good, I probably wasn't good until I was maybe 5-6 years in. Like, good. Because when I say good, I mean, like, these are good jokes. They're well-written. Mm-hmm. I'm not just up there, you know, being loud and funny.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask that. What's the difference between being funny and good?
Because people can be funny by being loud. You know, people just laugh. If you're confident, you can just get up there and do a whole bunch of crazy stuff, and mm-hmm. people will be like, oh, she funny. Ain't talking about nothing, mm-hmm. you know? So I consider good, you can write a great joke. You can write a great bit. You have, like... signature jokes that people recognize you from. So, yeah.
I was going to ask, you know, with a female comedian, so many female comedians been up here and says it's so difficult, right? It seems like they try to give them less money. They try to cut their time. They try to pull them up.
Well, they going to do that. Oh, I didn't know we could cuss. Why you ain't tell me that when I first got up here? Okay, well, yeah. Censoring myself
Ooh,
and
now
shit.
Now you feel relieved.
Ooh, God. So, I mean, yeah, but I think that's any field. Men are going to try to do that. And mm-hmm. I think women feel like it's hard. It ain't never been hard for me because I'm funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to, like, people want to be on the show because they want to be on the show. I ain't never had to get booked because somebody want to. Of course, they probably wanted to, but I was the referred comic. Like, we need a funny female. Mm-hmm. Oh, just needs. So it's been easy. And people always think female comics aren't funny, mm-hmm. but it's just a numbers game. So it's less of us. So you see us less. You know, so you might see, well, one female comic per show, if that. So if you're not seeing female comics, then it's like, oh, I don't even know no funny female comics. I don't see that. But it's like, no, we out here and I'm funny. So I've always just been able to, like, jump the line because mm-hmm. they always want one bitch on the show. Mm-hmm. And so.
What did you think about Cat Williams going at all the black comedians? What was
your
thought?
Oh, man. That was a time to be alive. It was a good kickoff. I feel like, shit, he spoke his truth. And that's what he wanted to get out. And he did. And I don't know. I liked it, though, but I don't think it's necessary to. Well, he only addressed the people who addressed him on Club Shay Shay. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what people are getting away from. They think he's just picking on people, but he literally only talked about the people that got on there and said something that he disagreed with or thought was.
There's some people who got shots for no. I mean, it wasn't all comedians.
Drive-bys? Oh yeah,
it wasn't all comedians. He talked about. There's a lot of people that got some strays.
Like, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. But
Cat has been consistent about certain people for a long time.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Hart, he's been this way before.
Yeah. So he's been on that, and I feel like people are used to it. So mm-hmm. it's just like, okay, Cat being Cat.
That's how I took it. I mean, I'm like, I've heard Cat talk like this before. I don't know.
Yeah, this ain't the first time. Yeah,
so for this one to catch fire the way it did, I was like, oh, okay.
It was Shay Shay in a jogger suit. That's what it was. I tell you that now. Come on, Cat. Leg up on the table. Come on, Cat. Balls everywhere. Come on, Shay Shay. Put them balls up.
It's the jogging suit.
It's the jogging suit. That motherfucker's tight as hell. And leg up. That's what I'm like. So I think it was a combination. But it's a super dope podcast. So, of course, absolutely. Aesthetically, Shay Shay is good. Shay Shay. Shannon Sharp is good. And, yeah. And Kevin is always going to be entertaining. So it did what it needs to do.
Yeah. You did speed dating with Kendra G?
Yes. Well, it was like a collab. We got that coming up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
so
it's not out yet?
It's not out yet. But, you know, she's working on her app for her singles live show. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's going to be like a tour. And I told her, I already do a speed dating comedy jam. And with you and your platform, we can really get these singles out in every city. And they'll have a better chance of meeting somebody they can really be with. Because if you watch the show, them people be, oh, I'm in Atlanta. Y'all can fly. You ain't got no money. You cannot fly to see no nigga. Stop. And anybody can fly you out. So it's just being a little more realistic and just putting all that together so we can just get out and have a good time. It's a super dope show, though.
Oh, yeah. That's
so be on the lookout for that.
Salute to Kendra.
For the tour.
Are you really trying to meet somebody?
Oh, I found my nigga. Hopefully this is my last nigga. So I
found my nigga.
Yeah. This is my last. I want to be married by 40.
Well, where'd you find him at?
Well, God sent him to me. We actually met in Chicago, and it's going on almost 2 years now. Okay. And I want to be married by 40, so I got about 2 months.
2 months?
So I'm going to fast track it.
Does he know that?
He know now.
Damn.
He know now.
So you
but
never
yeah.
told him? Y'all never?
I think he kind of knew. Okay. I don't think you got to really be with somebody forever to get married. We can learn about each other as we go. Like, we're almost 40. Ain't you tired? Like, I'm ready to sit down.
But does he think you're serious, though? Because you're a comedian, too. So some of that's like, she playing too
no,
much.
No, I think he understands that, you know, it's important for me to just go ahead and we can settle down. The streets was fun. Mm-hmm.
How does a woman know, though? How does a woman know when it's time to hang it up?
You just kind of feel it. You kind of just want to be settled. Mm-hmm. You want to be where you're going to be at. And then right now, I think it's the best time for me because, you know, I'm coasting up. I've been doing comedy for 11 years, but I think this year is like pivotal. I think this year is really going to be life changing. So I would rather have somebody be through that phase with me than mm-hmm. Have to find somebody after that. Because it's like, what do you want? You like me or you just know that I'm dope and I'm popping? So,
why do you think this is going to be the year? Because you said this is the year.
Yeah, like, man, I just feel it. I know what I got. I got a special coming out.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
That's going to change the game. Mm-hmm. The HR40 movement, that's just important to me just to get the word. So I just see that being a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then we're kicking off our all-female tour again. Mm-hmm. So the Kendra G stuff. So it's just so much, like, boom, boom, boom. I'm writing on the Miss Pat show. Just did a movie with Tyler Perry. So it's like, you just kind of feel it.
The female tour is the Funny by Nature tour.
Funny by Nature tour,
and
yes.
You, Crystal Powell, Kelly Kells, and Ashima Franklin.
Ashima Franklin, yes. Yeah. I actually put my girl in the building. That's Ashima Franklin.
Hey, Ashima.
Yeah. Funny as hell. Like, all stand-ups. Everybody got jokes. It's really like the new Queens comedy, if we're going to call it that.
How'd you connect with them? I was just having a conversation with mm-hmm. some of the ladies in here, and I said to them verbatim, I said, women hate each other.
Yep, they do. But when you find a group of women that you click with and can get along with and not be catty, because everybody gonna have their disagreements, but it's like we cool enough to get through whatever bouts we have and we can work together. But that is hard for a lot of women, but we do really well together and we all funny, so it's a dope tour. Mm-hmm. And because people don't, five female comics, I want to ask y'all this. Mm-hmm. You cannot name nobody you've seen on Def Jam.
On Def Jam?
No.
I'm talking about
name five, but
listen
to
what she said.
You can't say Samore, Monique, Adele.
You can't name people that's been on Def Jam at a gym.
What?
Because this is how much y'all don't know female comics. I know.
And I love Samore, though. Samore's.
Everybody loves Samore.
Yeah.
But she said name five that wasn't on Def Jam.
That wasn't on Def Jam.
So these new bitches we talking about.
Jess Hilarious, Amanda Seals.
We can name five people that have been up here, so it's a little different.
What you mean? Okay, Miss Pat, Just Niche, Tiffany Haddish. I'm serious.
Because okay. These are people that have been up here.
Okay.
But outside of the people that's been up here,
Simone
name five.
Stand up.
Yeah, I was going to take out the social media comedians too. Y'all was going to be too stuck.
I just think about people I see on stage. Yvonne Orji.
Okay.
Like, these are people I've actually gone to see on stage.
I just
want to
make sure y'all
in
up comedy on female
club.
Comics. Because if y'all don't know about these four, or y'all know about me now, but then y'all doing yourself a disservice. And it's plenty more female comics that I think I mixed in this little void.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a million followers. They haven't been on Def Jam, but they funny as hell. Mm-hmm. And then we get the, oh, females ain't even funny. Like, shut up, bitch. You don't even go to shows, you know? So this tour, I think, will just be, like I say, it's a new Queens of Comedy. We out here, everybody young and fresh. Well, we like 10, 12 years, though. So we're not new comics.
Right.
But we just, you know.
Is there anything off?
I gotta say Lunel too. Lunel will see this and be like, you had a fuck you.
Lunel
did
the Def Comedy Jam?
Lunel did Def Comedy Jam.
So shout out to all the Trailblazers. They forever gonna be our favorites.
She probably did.
Def Jam, Comic View. You know the stuff on TV where everybody learns.
Comic View, yeah. I'm sure Lunel has done the Comic View or Def Comedy Jam. Absolutely.
You know, for those of us who haven't done Def Jam or Comic View or don't have.
The new ones you mean, that's in the show. Okay, I got what you're saying.
So people don't, you know, we get lost in the mix. But yeah.
I was gonna ask. Anything off the table with everybody being canceled so easily now? Do you say, you know what, I'm going to stay away from this? Because it seems like everything is so sensitive now.
Everything is so sensitive, but people got to get over that. These are jokes. And if we don't fight for that right to just speak freely, then what is comedy going to be in the next 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about plants and shit. Don't nobody want to talk about that. You talk about your troubles. You talk about your life. Mm-hmm. And how y'all going to tell me how to talk about my story? You know, so you do have to deliver it a way where you're not offending people. But I pretty much am able to say whatever I need to say. And I have... You know, I talk about abortion, I talk about rape, I talk about, you know, but this is my story.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to, you sensitive because of some stuff I went through?
Mm-hmm.
Go to bed. You don't need to be at comedy shows. So I think if the joke is written well enough, then you can really say whatever you need to say.
What is the self-served selfie comedy jam?
Oh my God, this is my documentary / comedy special. So it'll be my first hour filming. And I'm filming it myself, so it's all... selfie. I'm doing everything on my phone.
So like this the whole...
I set my tripod up.
Okay.
And then I'm facing the camera. So...
Is there audience?
It's very intimate. The audience is behind me though. So the people who are like watching this special, it's like a very intimate experience because it's like I'm telling jokes straight to you, whoever's scrolling.
But the audience is watching your back.
Yeah. So that's weird for them. They're looking at ass. So I don't know. Depending on how you feel.
Okay.
But that's the idea of the special. And you know, it's almost like going to be like the Blair Witch Project of comedy specials. The shit going to be so dope because I got all this BTS, too, because I take my selfie stick everywhere. And so I got interviews with comics. I got cameos all over the place. So it's a documentary / comedy special. And the point is, like, Netflix ain't busting down my door to give me a special. No, Amazon Prime. So it's like, I got to do this myself.
Mm-hmm.
I will do it myself. And it's going to be one of the best specials people ever seen because it's going to be so different and it's funny.
Did you do it yet or not yet?
We filmed the actual... real show. So I got all the stuff on my phone, but we are going to film an actual special in March.
So you haven't done it yet?
Not
that's
gotta
be a little. Have you tried it yet? Because that's going to be a little weird to talk this way, to hear jokes from that
it's
way.
It's hard. So yeah, I do it in every city I go to.
Okay.
To practice. So when we're going to film an actual one, you know, professionally, and we're going to mix it all in. So we're going to mix the real one in with all the bullshit I have. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's almost like satire because people going to think, oh, she really did this and stuff. But I didn't. I have a whole like camera crew. And then you see me doing it myself. So it's going to be dope as fuck. And hopefully this changes the way stand-up comics are able to deliver their stand-up. Because social media whooping our ass. We're not getting up doing sketches every day. We're not doing skits because that's not our element. Mm-hmm. And then the ones that try to do it, they suck. You know, so they shit don't even take off because you're a stand-up comic. Of course you can transition. But your element is stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So just... we have to just realign the wheel. We ain't got to reinvent it, but do the shit and make it with social media. It's like, damn, this is different. And so I'm hoping once I do it, everybody start doing it, and now stand-up comics can kind of catch up with the social media world because you can do what you do best. But
I love that because, you know, we always talk about how do you make special special.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the specialest special to ever special. And people know that it's genuine, and I'm really passionate about stand-up comics like Ashima Franklin and Vincent Bryan and Ronnie Jordan and Michi Hall getting the light because they are just too funny for nobody to
Ronnie funny as hell.
Know about. Hello? And he bought y'all some gifts, too. Ronnie
Blessed
Jordan.
Fuck. Yeah, that's my guy. Salute to Ronnie. I ain't seen him in a minute, but salute to Ronnie.
Shout out to Ronnie Jordan. So he got y'all some hats, and then I got y'all some HR 40 shirts. But yeah, CP Power, like, it's too
funny
many.
As hell.
So all of us, and it's no way that we shouldn't be selling out our own shows. Mm-hmm. We are the funniest out here, but we don't have no big following. Mm-hmm. So if we start just doing shit different, I have a whole bunch of different visual shit I'm going to start doing with comedy just to make it more appealing for people on social media because that's where the money at. You get 1 million followers, you booked up the whole year. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I'm hoping this be a vehicle for the stand-ups to kind of catch up.
Gotcha.
But yeah, shit gonna crack.
How would you describe a Just Niche comedy show? If I came to a Just Niche comedy show, what should I expect? Or should I have any expectations?
You should expect to have an amazing time. Like the Just Niche effect is like real because it's like vibrant. Like I exude like positive energy. So even if I'm talking about something dark, I make you feel better about it because I'm just I just got a happy vibe about me. You know, I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. I ain't really no hating ass. I just, you know, I don't hate on people, but it's like, shut up. You know, I'm a little honest. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's very true. It's raw. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. Like, I write jokes. So I'm just not up there, you know. Blah, 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 blah. So you're going to leave like, damn, I never thought of that. That was good. Mm-hmm. And she was cool. She was fun. She was humble. You know, like, so you're going to leave like, damn, that bitch raw.
And you know, another thing I noticed about people in Chicago now, you know, because I follow Zoe on Instagram, mm-hmm. and, you know, I see you with the HR 40 shirt. Y'all are very involved with the politics of the city.
Yeah.
Y'all be at city council meetings, everything.
Because they be bugging us over. They bringing all these migrants in, no shade. Mm-hmm. But we need help, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they, like, kicking people out of schools, the housing. It's like, come on, y'all. Or like
we've had that here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, where all this money coming from? Mm-hmm. Well, y'all can help us.
They can't find no money nowhere else, but now. Yeah,
yeah, I'm a migrant too then. You know, like, give me some of that. So it's like a big old slap in the face. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's really important for black people to get on one accord. Because if we all are fighting for the same issue, because we're so divided. Everybody, mm-hmm. I need this, I need that. No, we need y'all to get on board. So we need some type of reparations, state and federally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's the movement. And, you know, you have to be consistent because people get distracted. And it's something that we have to keep doing because they know black people get distracted. Mm-hmm. One more Krishan video. We off track. It's like, no, focus, y'all, because we can do this. And it will take this generation. It'll be the millennials and the who after us? Gen Z?
I think it's Gen Z now, I think.
We're Gen Z? Okay. Yeah.
No, we're not Gen Z.
I'm
45, so I damn it.
Oh, okay.
I'm at the beginning of the alphabet.
So you kicked it off.
That's right.
Okay. You was the first millennial.
I think you were right before
us. Yeah. You was the last whatever before that was. But we have the time. You know, our ancestors couldn't get reparations. They trying to live. Mm-hmm. They just got free. Right. You think I'm going back? Right. You got something for me? Fuck you. You can have whatever you got. I'm just trying to, you know. So they didn't have time to fight for no reparations. Our grandmas and them, they still getting their ass beat. They didn't have time to fight for no reparations. They just want to live.
I talk about that in regard to mental health all the time. I always say that, you know, we're the first generation that has the luxury of healing. The generations before us were just trying to survive.
And and that's exactly it. So, you know, we still have, you know, our issues and barriers, but we can come together and do this. So I think we owe it to them to do it.
And it's interesting you brought up the... I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, it's interesting you brought up the migrant issue because, you know, people will hear you say that and they'll be like, oh, that's a MAGA talking point or that's a Republican talking point. I'm like, no. If you are actually out here talking to people in New York City or Chicago, I've witnessed it over the past year. People are coming up to me, black people, Spanish people, complaining...
Yes.
About the migrant issue,
for
the reasons you just said.
That's right.
It's crazy. They wanted to close down a Chicago Park District where these boys play football. That's the only thing they got. It's already in one of the worst neighborhoods on the west side of Chicago, and they wanted to close that down so they could have. Are y'all stupid? Mm-hmm. It's like, don't do that. So yeah, we gotta get together, and they're gonna have to deal with, you know, Black people, we just have to get on one accord. I know we could shut some shit down if we just do it. So that'll be what I'm focusing on. So I'll be pushing that a lot. And it'll be funny, too. Like I say, so I have a whole bit about it. So it'll be, you know, enlightening and funny. And when I do it at comedy shows, people don't even know what I'm talking about. And it's like, damn, why you know? You know, I want some reparations, too, you know. Give us a little reparation card or something. That'll help.
A little reparation card or
something. Won't you feel better? You get a little reparation card, you know, until they figure it out. You know, it'll just increase the morale of the nation. Because, oh, they're giving us something now. They owe us, you know.
A black Escalade.
Hello? Anything black. A barbecue grill and a choco and some Grillmaster 12s. Wouldn't you be happy?
She said a reparation card, not car.
Oh, card. I thought you said car.
That's what you said, black Escalade.
Oh, black Escalade. Car and card. Shit. Give us something.
I'll take a black card.
You said anything black we should get.
Anything black we get free. Hello? Right. Microphones. I don't give a fuck. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Because we like free shit. Right. So, and they can start doing that. That's small stuff. Mm-hmm. They can put a little card, give us a little reparation card. Mm-hmm. Load that bitch up $1,200 a month until they figure it out.
Little scrimps.
Yeah.
Little lobster.
And your shit does black free. You don't even come off the car. You just swipe it for the regular shit.
Well, see, that's why those stimmies went so hard. Because if you're a person who feel like you've never gotten anything from your government ever. Like you don't even feel seen.
Look.
And all of a sudden you get a check in the mail for $1,200, you're like, oh, okay.
You like, yeah.
And he put his name on it. And, exactly. And Biden sent out stimulus checks too, but he ain't put his name on it. He should put his name on it.
Put your name on it. That's why I was like, Trump fuck around really give us the reparations because he just be wilding. But, yeah, we got to ask what we have to demand it. And if we don't get it, we have to shut shit down. And we can shut the black dollar so strong. You think we can't shut shit down? We have a blackout day. But to have a blackout day, everybody has to know about the blackout day. So it has to be a thing. Hey, we're going to see what they do. January 6th, all the motherfuckers went to the White House. Yeah, okay. January 6th, black people, we shutting this bitch down. We're not doing shit. We ain't going to work. We ain't, well, some people might have to go. But, you know, but it really has to be we'll just focus on one thing, boycott this, boycott that. We can do it. So, like I say, we got the time, and, like, I just want to spread awareness. The page, I started an HR40 page. It's like HR40 moving on IG. People can just send all type of ideas on how, you know, how we can get stuff done and get this going. So
I wanted to ask you, in hip-hop, you know, you see all these young women. We still got the OGs around, but a lot of these young women are like running the game, right? Do you feel like it's becoming that way in comedy?
Yep. Because I think it's, I feel like half and half. Like some of the funniest comics I know are female. Mm-hmm. And then you got your guys who do good. But a lot of these niggas suck too. You know, people like, females ain't funny. No, these niggas ain't funny either. You just see more of them. Mm-hmm. So if you see 10 dudes and 2 women and one of the women wasn't funny, you're going to be like, oh, women ain't funny. Shut up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think we are kind of taking away. I don't know, like, so many motherfuckers doing their thing. Like, say, the Funny by Nature tour, everybody in that group is doing their thing. Crystal is out in Vegas doing Magic Mike. Ashima just got a Netflix deal. Kelly Kills just did a movie. You know, so we dope. Mm-hmm. And it's just time for people to see us.
You got a Netflix special coming to Ashima?
I'm doing a Netflix as a joke.
Oh, Netflix is a joke. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Word. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And she said she's hosting come on, say it. Come
yeah.
Say it.
Hey,
I've been waiting.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I definitely want to talk about that. Yes.
Hold on. Your mic not on.
Okay, perfect.
Well, they can hear you now. What'd you say
now? Ashima Franklin.
Yes. Ashima Franklin, fresh out of Mobile, Alabama, by way of ATL. Mm-hmm. On the Funny by Nature comedy tour with Jess Niche, Kelly Kells, Crystal Power. Jess booked the Netflix. It's a special... Just hold on. Netflix is a joke. Out in LA in May, and I'll be doing the Just for Laughs Moon Tower Comedy Festival in April in Texas.
Yeah. So how did y'all connect? Where was y'all? Was this at a comedy clubs or?
Yeah, just you kind of navigate to the funny people because the mamas will rub off on you. You be like, get away from me!
Don't get that
so,
on
like,
me.
The funny people kind of we just navigate. Ashima's out.
We met at Vanessa Fraction House. That's how we initially met. Shout out to Vanessa Fraction, also a funny female comedian. Mm-hmm. We were shooting a skit together. Mm-hmm. And that's how we initially met face to face. But I had already been hearing about Jess Niche and hearing about how funny she was out of Chicago or whatever. So
she even been killing it. So
when you hear people mention you here on Breakfast Club, what do you be sitting back thinking?
Why they ain't never had me on that bitch? Okay, but I appreciate it, though. Because
that's what Zoe said. Zoe said that. Why you ain't never had me just keep up on that bitch? Everybody always mentioning her, and you'll never have her up there.
Yeah. Like, and you know what's funny? And I love Zoe because, like I said, she been rocking for me. We kind of started together, you know, and she always been looking out. So she be, handling my role stuff and, you know, stuff I need to handle. So I told her, I said, I don't need to be on that platform yet until I have something on. I didn't want to be on here until I had a special coming out. So mm-hmm. it was perfect timing when y'all hit me because it's a dope platform, but you don't want to waste that, you know?
Right.
I need the words to get out. And I got a GoFundMe for the special because I'm producing it by myself.
Tell them.
Hello. If I got to hit my head in a brick to get 40K, I will.
Damn.
What?
Like Brick Girl.
I know. We know what you meant.
They gave that girl 40K. And so
they took it back, though.
They took it back?
Yeah, they took it back.
All right. Well,
they took the money back from her?
From GoFundMe? Yeah,
I thought she went got body done with it.
She got arrested the other day.
She just got arrested.
Why'd she get arrested if she get to keep the money?
That's after she spent the shit.
Because she lied.
Because she lied. Charlamagne gave a donkey today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
so, yeah. I just saw how many people donated to that. And I was only asking for, what, like 20, 30K? I only asked for 16, but I need like 20, 30. I was going to match it, right? I got $5,000 so far. It's been 3 weeks.
Tell
you
people
got $5,000 on GoFundMe?
But I got 100. No, I got 100,000 followers. Everybody could have gave me a dollar.
What's the Cash App?
Oh, the Cash App? Oh, Just Niche Comedy. $JUST.
It's the GoFundMe, though.
I have a GoFundMe, too, but I got a Cash App, too. Shit. So let me give him the one he asked for.
He said, give me one he asked for.
$JUSTNESH.
That's it?
Yep, that's me.
Well, hold on. You gonna send me some?
The GoFundMe is in my Instagram bio. So yeah, I asked for 16K. We're gonna need officially like 20 to 30 by the time everybody gets filmed and stuff. But yeah, the shit gonna be dope.
You giving cash today, Charlamagne?
Well, hold on, Charlamagne. I mean, you should send me some since he sent her something. You should send me some.
I got 6K, so that's what I'm asking Charlamagne. What you send me, Charlamagne?
Charlamagne sent me 15K.
I just donated the Tanisha's comedy special.
Thank you.
Tell him how much.
Tell him how much?
Look at me.
I mean,
can somebody donate to my OnlyFans?
Yes,
that's entertaining
it.
As well.
And that's what's gonna be so dope about such because I really am doing this all like that's on dope. My own. Damn! Thank you, Charlamagne.
Tell them how they can get in touch with you, and tell them your GoFundMe so they can donate
okay.
to that.
So damn, just
don't you cry?
Okay, I won't. But the GoFundMe, so the link is in my IG bio. Mm-hmm. So if you follow me on IG, Just Niche, JUSTNESH, the GoFundMe link is there. And then my Cash App is Just Niche Comedy, $JUSTNESH Comedy. So, yes, we're going to rock it. We film in March. I will definitely have all the money by March. And God going to figure it out because this That's will right. change the game of comedy. I already Amen. Know it. And I did at first I was going to do it and put it on YouTube or Tubi because it was going to be that dope.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really going to be using my footage. But I found a producer and videographer team like, nah, bitch, we're going to film your shit so that meets the Netflix requirements.
Dope.
So I'll be able to pitch this shit to every network.
Wow.
And wherever it lands, it's going to change the game. And I know that.
There
so,
you go. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Give me
y'all.
All your Instagrams and stuff.
Ashima. Give me your stuff out of Ashima.
Okay,
well.
Yeah. I'm still waiting on my Cash App, Envy. Like, you got to match his. You got to match that energy over there now.
She had a good pitch, though. She had a great pitch.
I got OnlyFans. I got big breasts. Okay, anyway. we got to also let them know to come and check us out, the Funded by Nature Comedy Tour. We'll be in Atlanta at the Uptown Comedy Theater mm-hmm. February the 13th. So shout out to the Atlanta Comedy
Uptown.
And April 14th.
Is Earthquake still on Uptown?
No.
No, I don't think okay. so.
No, Angelo does. Shout out to Angelo. And then April 14th, we're going to be at Comedy in Harlem.
Okay.
The Funded by Nature Comedy Tour is going to be there.
Yeah, so we're right back in New York.
Yep. And follow me at Instagram at Call Me Miss Franklin, and my Cash App is Ashima Franklin.
Period. And we're doing a speed dating comedy show in Chicago March 13th. So singles, bring your ugly ass out, Chicago. And it's super dope. We do a live portion of the show. We have 6 men, 6 women. We do a panel with them, almost like Love Connection studs. We make them pick which one they like best, and then the audience gets the speed date.
You said Love Connection studs.
You remember back in the day?
I know Love Connection, but
yeah, because
y'all got Stud Connection?
Studs got a whole different meaning now. But you remember the show? It was called
Studs. Yeah, I remember Love Connection. No, I remember the song Studs.
You remember they had the hearts? So it was like one girl, and she went on a date with 3 guys, and they would ask the guys questions, and if they got the answer right, they got a heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a live dating show back
when you said studs, we thought something else.
Yeah, because LGBT is going
for
dating.
I thought so too.
I thought you just had.
I was like, that's fire.
I thought that y'all were old enough to remember that show. But yeah,
no,
it was out around the same time as Love Connection, but it was a live dating show called Studs. But yeah, Studs and been a whole new meaning right now.
Stud Connection would be fire.
Stud Connection, that's a good sketch.
But instead of a heart, you give him a dildo.
Yes.
You know what?
Eggplants everywhere. Yes. Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're going to do that sketch. Shout out to Eugene Bush, y'all. This is my producer, videographer, and he's the one that's really, you know, because it's behind the scenes. So y'all go see all this BTS.
Gotcha.
We got all the, everybody gonna be in a special. You know, you got D-Ray, you know, Miss Pat, you know, mm-hmm. it's just gonna be super dope. But yeah, the speed dating thing, Chicago, I need y'all to come out. Men, y'all get in for $10 because it always be 100,000 women.
Right.
And 12 niggas. Mm-hmm. So just to balance that out, I have to like discount the men, get them a free shot of Hennessy so that we can have an equal amount. But it's going to be ladies in the building, fellas. So I need y'all to pull up. March 13th, Chicago, Promontory.
At April 13th at Comedy in Harlem. I said the wrong date at first.
April 13th,
April
Comedy
13th,
Harlem.
Comedy in Harlem. Okay. Shout out Jamie Roberts.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys for joining us.
That's right. Look out for that Funny by Nation tour coming.
Yeah. Just Niche. Yeah. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.